from Central Maryland.
My name's Rome Addy. And there's a lot of y'all in here. And I'm one of them people that don't like to talk, but boy, when I get on the road. I don't know why they picked me for this topic, because, you know, I don't feel like I'm unique, you know, especially after he shaved. because we got a lot of similarities. You know, I'm the little kid who used to get mail at the house at 5 years old from Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. Yeah. So I was born with cataracts. My mother caught chicken pox when she was carrying me. I was in the hospital when the world famous George Wallace came to Holy Cross Hospital after he got shot. I was on the same floor with him having an eye operation. So for some reason, I can think back to early childhood, you know. And long before, let me just say this. For me, drugs solved my problem, then they became the problem, you know. Yeah, because I'm the kid that, you know, he was talking about being short. You know, I am still 9 times out of 10 the shortest person in the room today. When I walk in a room, you know, that ain't changed too much. You know what I'm saying?
It gets worse.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I've always resented people over 6 feet. Yeah, I had a problem with y'all, you know. I'm the kid that I could play sports, but because my glasses cost so much, my father wouldn't let me play. My brothers used to sneak me to go play sports, and I was pretty good at them, but once my father found out, that was it, you know. So, you know, I had problems long before I picked up. I'm the kid that used to get chased home, and then one day, you know, I got one of them mothers that was God-fearing, but she grew up on Trinidad Avenue, and every now and then, Trinidad Avenue would come out. And I remember that day she said, take him back up to the park, and you make whoever it is, you make sure that he fight him, and if he don't, I will beat him until his father get home. And I went up to the park, and my oldest brother coached me. He said, look, he kind of big, hit him in his throat. And I hit the guy in his throat, and he fell, and my brother said, now kick him. And, so immediately on that day, I went from passive to aggressive. Yeah. You know, from that day on, you know, that June Reed commercial, nobody, yeah. Yeah, from that day on, you know. So being short, wearing real thick glasses, having parents. Now, the other thing is my mother and father were 40 when they had me. My closest brother to me had me by 8 years. My oldest brother's old enough to be my father. I'm 47. I got a niece 46. Yeah. So, I always had issues. Yeah. But on the flip side, right, I'm the little kid who, my birthday, December the 15th, my mother didn't play, handing me no gift. You couldn't give me a gift talking about this for your birthday and Christmas. It was either or. So I'm the little kid that, like, had 2 bicycles. Now, I found out later on the reason why my father bought me 2 bicycles because one of my friends wasn't going to get no bike that Christmas, and he needed to be able to ride when I rode, you know. My father dressed well, so I dressed well. When most kids, you know, the neighborhood I grew up in was on the outskirts of Glen Arden, and I liked Glen Arden. Anybody know anything about Glen Arden? That was the only place that I know that you could go to find something to do at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, it was always something to do with Glen Arden. That's where I learned how to cuss at. I'm talking about before drugs. I'm talking about, you know, See, like, I got a 13-year-old daughter, and her mother was appalled the other day because she found out she cusses. I started laughing. I said, 13, I had it down to a fine-tuned science. You know, I don't know about y'all. I used to stand in the mirror and practice. You know. I'm going to try not to use them words too much on the tape, but, you had to say fuck you the right way. You know. Couldn't be talking about the motherfucker, you know. You had to say, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, because I already would get clowned, you know. So, yeah. So I learned how to joan. I learned how to fight. Now, I don't. My brother helped me with this 2 years ago. Now, I'm going to show you the beauty of the program. The same brother that, over 20 years ago, me and him was smoking a joint of reefer. And he was getting ready to leave. And I said, man, five another one. He said, that's what the fuck wrong with you. You ain't good. He said, man, you got a problem. And I'm telling y'all, all the way till I got to Narcotics Anonymous, and even years after being here, I couldn't understand how the one that was smoking with me could tell me yeah, I had a problem, right? So I ended up living with him after not living with him since I was 10. And what happened is me and him were sitting around talking, and, you know, I remember as a child that this particular brother used to box, so I thought. But what he did was he went to the gym, and he did all of the practice part. He learned how to spar. He learned how to dance. He learned how to, and he said one day the coach told him, tomorrow you're going in the ring. And he realized that he was going to have to get hit. And he made a decision he wasn't boxing no more. And he said, but that's what always bothered me about you. I say, what? He said, you used to go look for somebody to hit you. And that's the truth. I've looked for fights. Because that was my way of feeling a part of. You know, people would call me blind. I'd take my glasses off, smack shit out of them. You know. But then one day when I was 13, right? Because I also was a little kid whose mother ain't never let him leave out the house, broke. And my friends convinced me. See, my buddy Londa and his son, I know she remember these days. They used to have a carnival in Palmer Park. And anybody know anything about Palmer Park? That wasn't a neighborhood you went into by yourself. Unless you knew somebody. Because you was going to get jumped. And I remember going and they talked me into buying some old English 800 and some reefer. And I remember drinking and the 0800 was warm. And I remember drinking that and smoking some reefer and getting on the Ferris wheel and throwing up. And I remember making the decision that day that I was not drinking no more. Notice I ain't saying nothing about the reefer. And so I started smoking reefer like 14, 15 years old. And it quickly escalated to phencyclidine. Yeah. And the only reason why I know about that word is because I got arrested. My first charge was a distribution charge. I remember when they arrested me and they put me in the jail cell and they kept asking me who I got it from, and I wasn't telling them, and they came back and they said, well, we got you, shawty, because it tested positive for phencyclidine. And I said, y'all not putting that shit on me. I had both. Yeah. So y'all know how that trial went, right? Yeah, they urged me to go ahead and take a plea. Right. So the deal is, what happened is the little kid who threw tension tantrums, always used to have his way. I'm the kind of person, I had a Doberman pincher. I can't play basketball, but I would go to the park and say, I got next. And they'd be like, nah, man, you gonna mess the game up. And I'd tell my dog, sit. If I don't play, nobody play. And if you was over 6 foot and you said something smart, I said, get it. And wait till he in the air getting ready to bite you and say, come on back. So what I'm telling y'all is over the years, I learned how to do stuff to make myself feel as though I'm equal. Yeah. So I get to Narcotics Anonymous by way of putting working 20s on Sherman sticks. And when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, wasn't a whole lot of crackheads here yet. Y'all was on the way. Nah, because I got clean 1989. You know what I'm saying? Paradise had just shut down. You know what I'm saying? Rayful Edmond had just got, you know. It wasn't, I'm telling you, man, I got the Narcotics Anonymous. They was talking about used for 25, 30 years. I was 23. I sitting there. How they going? They done fucked their life up that long. How they going to help me? You know, the biggest issue I had was y'all like Chuck Brown. I mean, James Brown, I like Chuck Brown. You know, y'all did something called hand dancing, and I was trying to grind. You know, but one day, right, true story, I was sitting in my home group and we was talking about the second step, and I really didn't like most of y'all because wasn't nobody, most of the people that I got clean around were old enough to be uncles and fathers and aunts and so on and so forth, and I really didn't like being around y'all because y'all always was, I didn't know then y'all was loving me. Y'all was always talking about shawty, look, you needed this and you needed that and you needed. What y'all was trying to keep me from doing was doing what y'all did. But I couldn't see it, you know. But one day I was standing and the reason why I made a decision to come back wasn't because I was glad to be Narcotics Anonymous. It dawned on me that I'd rather be in a room full of people that I don't necessarily care for than on the corner with all my boys. Now, I've been clean coming up on 24 years, and I have yet to see. I got people that have come to Narcotics Anonymous that I grew up with, but I've been here 24 years. Ain't nobody sitting in here I smoke with. Ain't nobody sitting in here I pull capers with. 'Cause they was getting numbers. You know, my best friend went to jail. He did 26 and a half years. And he was able to come home. And he was home for a year and a half. And he was murdered. The same crime that he committed happened to him. And I was devastated. I wanted to bring him around meetings, but I was having a few issues with people in Narcotics Anonymous, you know. Like I say, that my reaching out and touching people didn't go away once I stopped using. Matter of fact, it came back. Yeah. I mean, seriously, when I stopped smoking, I stopped throwing tennis tantrums again. You know, I don't know if anybody else can relate to that. I'm telling y'all, when I when some PCP will not allow you to have a tension tantrum. I smoke both. I just want to chill. Yeah. You know, me and Derek are thinking of a master plan. I'm telling you, in my mind high, I done robbed a lot of banks, but I messed around and came down. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, because some of the stuff I was thinking high, I knew it would work. Knew it would work. You know, so anyway, I get to Narcotics Anonymous, and for my first 6 years, I just was happy not using. I wasn't really interested in the steps. Not for real. You know, I just want to go to meetings, hang out, do what we do, go break some bread. I managed to get probably, you know, I started, but I was in the service, you know. So I was kind of in the program, you know what I'm saying? And I was coming to meetings. Let me just say this. Start by just taking and going to a meeting on a regular basis. All the rest of the stuff will fall into play. You know, I just wasn't one of them ones. You know, at 10 years clean, I think I made a decision. Well, actually, what happened was around 8 years clean, I was hustling, my nephew was hustling, my little play brother was hustling, and my sponsor was hustling. My sponsor relapsed, my nephew got murdered, and my little buddy got a scholarship to Lorton. And the day he got the scholarship, I had called somebody in the fellowship and asked them to pick me up from his house. And they was like, you want me to come over to the drug dealer's house? And I was like, it's not a drug dealer, it's my friend. It's like, man, I'm not coming to the drug. I mean, I'm talking about a serious argument because I don't want you to know that I'm living dirty. And so they said, man, I ain't going to come over there. You need to meet me on the corner. And as I was walking down the street, the police cars was flying up the street. And I remember thinking, somebody going to get that ass locked up. I had left his house just before they kicked the door in.
Wow.
Right? So my sponsor's in Second Genesis telling me I got to get a sponsor. My nephew, we planning his funeral. And my little play brother then got locked up once again. And I get to a meeting, and somebody gave me Who's an Addict. And when I got to the part about jails, institutions, and death, for some reason, that day, it registered. And I made a decision, and I called Butch, that was my sponsor, and I told him that we're going to get to the step stuff, and if this shit don't work, I'm going to go to the meeting and tell everybody they're wasting good, get high time. So I don't know, but because I know all y'all that sat in a meeting and watched two or three people try to out-talk each other on the third step and their understanding of it, you know, and I just, you know, it's a living program, you know, and so what happened is I started trying to participate in getting better. It ain't been easy, right, but using ain't an option, right? Now, let me tell you the stuff that I used to get high to. I used to get high because he had a bad day. Or, you know, she kind of cute and I need to be high when I talk to her. Now, what has happened since I've been clean, my house caught on fire with me in it. I had to run out the house with all my clothes in my hand. I lived right across the street from the main police headquarters in Palmer Park. And as I'm trying to, I'm got my clothes in my hand, I'm butt naked, and I'm trying to call 911. And the police think I'm on a dipper, so they come with their guns drawn, talking about get on the ground. And as I pointed the window, when I went, oh shit, the house on fire, you know. I lost my best friend here. We went to a meeting on a Tuesday night. That Wednesday morning, I got a phone call telling me to get to the hospital. Found out he had died in a motorcycle accident. I was devastated. I'd have had kids in here. That's a journey. I got a 13-year-old that is a carbon copy of me, scares me to death. If she makes up her mind she gonna do something, she really don't care about the repercussions. Scares me to death. I've been shot at. Guy unloaded a clip, 19 bullets at me, shot up my truck. And when the police was picking the bullets out the truck, they was trying to figure out why I wasn't shot. I flipped the truck over and slid on the side so long that the doors was welded shut. So I've been through some things, but I ain't used. The thought of using, now let me just, this is why I think I'm unique, and it's based on what I hear y'all share, because I always hear people talking about they thought about using. Since I've been a Narcotics Anonymous, thinking about getting high has not crossed my mind. And I'm grateful. I don't say that bragging. You know what I'm saying? I asked God, when I remember praying, I asked God if he just removed the taste and the desire of my mouth And that was my first understanding that he answers prayers. So, you know, that's about enough out of me, right? I'm glad y'all all here. Y'all deep up in here on a Friday, 3 o'clock. Yes, sir. So, as always, it's a good day to be clean. My name is Ron. I'm going to add it. I'm going to keep coming.
Thank everybody for coming. We got a nice way to close.